I mean, you're faced with all of you when you're there alone in the studio, you know, and so being on the, being there and putting marks on the canvas, you know, I get to make a mark. I get to make something beautiful out of something that wasn't there before.
Gotta get messy and show the world you're growing as an artist. And you're free to be yourself. You got a dream, you need to start it. Stick together. Get messy says you're formally invited to a community where you can find people that spark the feel of excitement. Too many art supplies, not enough time. No, it's tougher, so you must find a way to feel some connection. We got a lot of people with the same kind. A great mind, we're here for you. A platform so we can hear your views. Time's yours, forget chores. I know you bored of them same rules.
Hello, you beautiful artist. Today on the podcast, I'm chatting to Anna Bear, also known as Olive Green Anna. And it's a little bit different because we met as friends before any idea of the podcast. Usually it's the other way around. Usually it's podcast and then become friends or something like that. But yeah, she is having a artist residency coming up in January, and I'm going to be part of that. And so I was talking to her about that and talking to her about what to expect about that. And eventually I was just like, you know what, like, let's get on the podcast. Let's talk about it. I want to get to know you anyway. I want to get to know your work. And it just worked out. Like, and so in this conversation, we are talking about that. We're talking about taking time to make work, taking time for yourself, creating. We're talking about her creative process and the way she sees things, which is just, I don't know, like, I'm really struggling having to record this introduction because I just want to go and get creating. I don't want to sit on my computer anymore. I want to get creating. But I know that it's going to help keep you company while you're creating, and it's going to help you in your art and help you maybe see things a little bit differently. There are a lot of practical tips in there, a lot of tips for letting go, something that I know that a lot of us struggle with. I certainly do. Also talking about just giving yourself what you need. Anna has an insanely impressive resume. She's living in Heidelberg in Germany, which is near me. Kind of my dream place to live, but I'm not living there, but she is. She is, so it's okay. And she's exhibited in solo exhibitions, loads of exhibitions, loads of residencies, really insane credentials. I'll put it all in the bio in these show notes. And she's also held art teaching positions. She's the recipient of the 2009 and 2008 Art Talent Award at Whitworth University. And right now during COVID, she's painting a painting a week, and she's expressing the passing of time through emotionscapes. Her daily studio practice captures a sense of expansion amidst compression. You really just need to see her work. You can see her on Instagram. Obviously, she is Olive Green Anna, and you can see her work on her website. And I mean, I don't have the words. I'm not a writer. I can't explain these works to you. There was one that she did, and immediately I was like, I need it. And she's like, oh yeah, no, someone's already got it. And so I just have to settle for looking at it on Instagram. On Instagram, she's also really good at pep talks. She gives them to herself, and I take everything I need from them too. And I'm really just excited for you to listen to this. I just had a blast talking to her and learning more about her, and I'm really excited to meet her in person when COVID ends. You might never get to meet her, and so you've got this podcast, and we'll keep you company while you create. Oh, Anna, I am so excited to talk to you today.
Me too. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited also.
Mm-hmm. For the person listening, Anna and I we met online. We're both expats in Germany and artists, and we've been wanting to meet each other for a long time. And then finally I was just like, Anna, come on my podcast, because that's apparently the only way I can get to meet you.
I know, we live, I think, maybe 20K away from each other or something, but we, yeah, with COVID and then, yeah. Mm-hmm. So here we are.
So maybe we can start by you sharing a little bit about who you are and your art.
Yeah, my name is Anna Bear. I also go by Olive Green Anna, and I'm an abstract painter, an expressionist painter. So I paint quite large scale pieces, often over a meter large, usually like closer to 2 meters, but I have made some smaller work this past year, which has been really nice. My work's very bright and lively, and I use kind of a scripty mark making in many of my pieces, somewhat like writing or journaling, which actually comes from Morning Pages, or from journaling. Yeah, from Julia Cameron, The Artist's Way, Morning Pages, where stream of consciousness writing is a big part of my life. And so I brought it into my painting a couple of years ago too. So yeah, so I am American by nationality, but I actually grew up in Thailand. So, and I've lived here in Germany for 10 years. So I kind of am a from earth type person. Yeah. That's always a kind of a hard question for me to answer, but yeah, I'm a mama of two. I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, and my husband's a musician. So we're both, it's kind of an artist family, and yeah, we're making it work on the day to day, getting into the studio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. There's so many things that I want to ask you about. but let's start with why Olive Green, Anna? Uh-huh.
Well, actually, to be honest, I used to play more music than I painted art. And it was the first name of my first band. It was a girl band. It was two of us, and we were called Olive Green. And then when she moved away, I just became Olive Green Anna as my musician artist name. And then when I finished my bachelor's and was finally finished studying art and everything, then it kind of became my blog name. And then now it's my artist name, but I kind of switch them and swap them. But olive green is my favorite color. It's ugly. It's almost like gold, but without the glitter.
I love that. I feel like this is also, this podcast episode is great because it's kind of like I'm interviewing you for friendship. Like I get to like ask you all these questions like you would usually ask a new friend over time. I'm just going to throw them all at you now.
I love it. Perfect.
I love how you described olive green. That's amazing. I was thinking that I could never limit myself to a color, but I think that the way you described it is perfect. Gold without the glitter.
Yeah, well, it's like an odd color because it's kind of ugly, but it's also so beautiful. And yeah, so that's why I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm very drawn to the fact that you use the script you're writing in your work. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you're a big Morning Page person then.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I don't do the whole 3 pages. I'll usually do like 1 or 2 pages, and then continue into my paintings. but yeah, when I was growing up in high school and stuff, I did a ton of art journaling. So it's always been really fun to see what you do too. Yeah, mine. It'd be fun to look back on some of those art journals too, and maybe get back into that.
Yeah, obviously, I think you should. I know a lot of art journalists are always wondering how they can incorporate their words in their art, because there is kind of a step from an art journal and from a sketchbook onto canvas and stuff. And so I think that the way that you're able to make the writing look like art itself and is amazing. So anyone that's looking for ideas on that really should check out your Instagram and check out your work and just see the fact. I mean, are there still words in there? Because it's beautiful.
Thanks. There are. They're kind of like mantras or thoughts and things that come into my mind while I'm painting. So they are, but they're not really supposed to be legible. They're they're quite jumbled and mixed up. You know, I'll start a line and then continue it here and then continue it here, you know, and move around. So it is supposed to sort of give the feeling of words, but it's also supposed to be read as line and as texture and as part of the composition, you know, so.
Do you think that it goes back to your music artistry?
I don't know. Maybe it does. I mean, with lyrics and with writing, it's always been a big part of my creative process, like I said, with art journaling and music writing. Yeah. So that's probably where, yeah.
Tell me more about your creativity. Like, how do you see everything all fitting together? I think you do that quite well. I think you bring your whole life, and your whole life is art. And then when you go to the canvas, it's just an expression of that. Mm-hmm. Can we talk more about that?
Yeah. Well, so actually, to be honest, I used to, like, because I studied art. So in art school, you learn how to control materials. You learn how to master, you know, the paints and the materials, like to just, you learn how to control everything so specifically. And that's the part I really appreciated too, because I learned so much and I was able to pretty much paint or draw or whatever I wanted, right? But I always wanted to be an abstract painter, but I kind of never knew how or where to even start. You know, there's no classes for abstract painting, and at least in my college. And expression, it wasn't so important, you know. So anyway, for me, it started, the abstract painting really started when I had a miscarriage. So the first baby was... they didn't make it. And that's when I couldn't go into the studio anymore and like have so much control. I just needed to let go. It was like, I obviously don't have control in life, you know? And so I just was like, I need to be okay with letting go. I need to somehow be okay with letting go. And so, I think that's when life has always been a part of my work, but I think especially for abstract expressionism, where I really found my voice was when I began to be able to let go and to work with materials that were somewhat difficult to control, more fluid ones I brought in, and and then also new materials, like spray paint and using materials in weird ways. Trying to let go and be okay with letting go in the process. So I think that was a really big part for me in terms of having my life directly affect my work and my process. And then it just speaks so much. So now the process is almost like speaking into my life more. Like,
oh,
like I learned so much about life and about me when I'm painting. I mean, you're faced with all of you when you're there alone in the studio, you know, and so being there and putting marks on the canvas, you know, I get to make a mark. I get to make something beautiful out of something that wasn't there before. I get to play with color and try to match or try to even see what this is coming out of me. Often I don't even really like know what's happening. And then only a couple of months later, I'm like, oh, that's what I was painting, you know? So for example, with the circles, when I started painting the circles, I start with water first and I fill the circle just with water. And then I start adding pigment. So I start adding raw pigment, I start adding fluid acrylics or inks, and then it starts to flow. And then I start to push and pull and take away. And but it's in this controlled shape. And within it is sort of this wild. So I appreciate that too, where I can have, to a degree, I can have quite a bit of control, but I also want to let go. And I think that's just in life. I mean, so much, all of life, right? We only have so much influence, and then the rest we need to let go of. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that is so beautiful. Tell me more about how do you practically go and let go? What were those steps for you? You knew you needed to let go. You knew that this might be a way for you to do it.
First way I started, what I had these self-portraits of myself, and they were very realistic. And I honestly just was like, I have to let go. Like, and so I started to, I like splattered them with paint and I scribbled on them with pastel and I, you know, smeared some other color. And so they became like, you could see the portrait in the back, but on top was wild. So this was the very first way that I started letting go, is like destroying some of my own work, you know?
Yeah, no, there's an art journal called Ollie, I'm going to butcher her surname, Avaneri, and she burns her journals. So she'll create the art and then she'll burn it or she'll throw it in the sea.
Yes. No, I'm
so like this.
I am made, like, I do that too. I mean, I don't burn them, but I'll rip them or I'll, if they must go. Yeah, to make space. You have to make space for new ideas and new work.
I'm writing so many notes. I think you're very, very eloquent and you also have very good practical ideas. I'm going to be putting them in the show notes for anyone that, I don't know, otherwise they're just going to have to listen like 10 times. but okay, so something that you're doing at the beginning of next year that I'm very excited about is a artist residency. Right. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So I'm leading it's a 5-day artist residency, and it's an at home residency. So we'll all be in our homes or in our studios. The first couple of days, it's called Take Time to Make, and you can find out about it on my website, www.olivegreenanna.com. And there's a tab for Take Time to Make. And there, it's going to be 5 days. It's actually over 2 weekends. So it's the first weekend in January and then the second weekend in January. And we're going to take some time to make together and make space and brainstorm ideas and let go and be free, be okay with making mistakes. We're going to work on multiple pieces at once so that we kind of have that freedom and there's not so precious. So we're trying to let go of the preciousness of material also. That's an enormous one for me. If I start feeling like my materials are precious, then I am blocked. So I need to let go and to not see them as precious. So we'll talk about ways to do that. But mostly we're going to be playing together and showing up in our studio at least on the 5 days. So the Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the first weekend, and then the Saturday, Sunday of the next weekend. So the commitment is an hour a day on those days. If you can get more in, perfect. But I wanted it to be something for parents or for people that have a full-time job, whatever. I just know that I need to take time to make, and that you probably need to take time to make. So it'll be a really nice time at the start of the year, a chill, but also inspiring time to work together with a small group of artists. So last time I had 10 participants. And to be honest, it was a range of different medium. One person worked with clay. One person worked with florals and actually like put arrangements together. Another person did painting. Another person did actually use sound. So even whatever medium you're using, is you're welcome. It's totally interdisciplinary. It doesn't matter. So yeah, but it's about making your own unique work and starting to find your voice. So figuring out where your curiosity is and making those first steps to make a little body of work. So we're going to start some new pieces, between 3 and 5 new pieces. And then, yeah, you're going to make your own individual work, and you're going to start finding your voice a little bit more and just taking that time and that space for you. I know I need it. And so usually when I need something, other people need it too.
Absolutely. Well, I need it. I'm joining. Mm-hmm. I'm beyond excited about investing in myself and giving to myself, because it's so strange how the thing that we want most in life, right, that creative time, we just don't give ourselves sometimes.
I know. It's wild what keeps you from the studio, isn't it? I mean, whether it's laundry where you're like, why? You know? Or, I mean, yeah, if it's something trivial like laundry or the dishes, those honestly do keep me from the studio sometimes. But mostly it's, yeah, I mean, mostly it's fear and just, you know, struggling to know where to start. And yeah, so those are the types of things too that we're going to talk about and that I'll share about, because yeah, it's a lot about mindset. It's really a lot about mindset and about changing some of that dialogue in your mind too. And again, taking the pressure off, you know, doing something for you and just making for the sake of making. Like, I know as a professional artist, like it's, the pressure is so high because yeah, like I want to make work that obviously that I can sell or that somebody would want to buy, but also I really, really actually I want to make work for me, and my collectors want work that I want to make. Right? They don't want, they don't want me to be thinking about them when I'm in the studio. Like, they want me to just be free and to be working and to making for me. And so.
Yeah, it can be so tough when we're making for ourselves, even like the amount of judgment that we bring to the table, like a whole lifetime of judgment. Mm-hmm. That even when we're just making just for our own eyes, it can be so much pressure and we can be so hard on ourselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think something that helps me, I've been doing work with a life coach in other areas of my life, and she has to keep teaching me or reminding me that I'm worthy. And then I say, okay, but I didn't do anything. She's like, no, you're just worthy. Like, you're worthy of taking time to create. You're worthy of sitting with a cup of tea and a paper, a piece of paper and some paints. You're worthy of whatever you want just because you are. Like, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to have made 30 good pieces of art in order to go back and try again. It's actually, and I think especially as women, we're told that we're not worthy. I know there are a lot of people inside of Get Messy that are retirees, and they've just been told their whole life, you know, you have to look after the kids, you have to make money, you have to clean the house, and you're not allowed to make art. And now only when they're retiring, they're finally saying, okay, now it's my time. And it's so sad that the patriarchy and society are doing that to us, because we don't need to wait. Like, we're better people for ourselves and we're better people for the people around us when we are treating ourselves as the way the people that we are. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, this was a really big moment for me too. And because I ran a pop-up gallery here in Heidelberg a couple of years ago, and this woman, she was in her early 70s. So yeah, recently retired. And she said to me, Anna, you're doing it right. You're making work now, you know, and you're expressing yourself and prioritizing your work now. I've been living like compromising for my mom growing up, my ex-husband, I have never pursued my creativity, and I've never, you know, let my, and I just thought, oh my, I need to do this now. You know, I, for you, for people like you, but you know, 50 years ago, you know, like you are, yeah, but we, yeah, we need to do that. I need to do that. I know I needed to do that. I am. And not necessarily everybody needs to do this professionally. For sure. Like I, yeah. Yeah. Do it just for you and your work, because we need it, you know, and as humans, this is, and you're like our individual voices, we're the only ones who can make this work. You know, Katie, you're the only one that can make your work, and you need to be doing that. You know, and same with me. I'm the only one who can do it. And that's why I have to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always like it, like to think about, you know, when people say, oh, I've got nothing new to bring. And you're like, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Because the amazing thing is, even if you do, like, even if I were to copy your paintings exactly, it would look completely different. Mm-hmm. Because I've got, like, even if I took the exact same supplies, the exact same scenarios, because I'm bringing myself to the table and because I have all of my history and everything that's happened to me, it's going to be completely different. Mm-hmm. And the fun thing about art is that every time we try and emulate even ourselves, or we try and replicate something that we've done in the past, it's going to look different again. Yeah. And there's definitely a lot to be said for that letting go and just being like, okay, well, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
So for you, I know you were saying like making supplies not be precious, mm-hmm, is how you're able to create true art. And mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, I mean, I feel like it's gotten a bit easier now because I know, like, just because I know that even if something doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world, right? Like, I'm going to make a ton of shit. I'm going to make a ton of shit. Can I say shit on here? I don't know.
You can say fuck too, perfect, if you want.
Okay. No, but so I have to get used to making a lot of shit because I don't make any great stuff unless I make a lot of shit. Like, you know, you have to show up and you have to do something and you have to put your mark there. And if the mark doesn't work or whatever, it's fine. Who cares? No problem. Move on, let it go, or revisit it or paint over it or do whatever. It doesn't, yeah. There's always new materials and you always can get like more. And yeah. And even if it is shit, it was probably the shit you needed to make so that you can make something that works.
Yeah, I've got a theory that like there's a certain number of crappy pieces of art that I need to make. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that number is. Maybe it's 1,000. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But so every time I make something crappy, I just go, oh, yay. Like I got to tick one of those off. Like I never have to make it again. And like I can get past it.
That's a good way. That's a good way to think about it. I like that. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think there's something to be said for where we put our worth, right? Because if we're putting our worth into, am I making the next Mona Lisa, mm-hmm, right? We're never going to get there. So if your worth is, well, I want to enjoy the process and I just want to pour out of myself. Then you go, oh, I just spent a whole bunch of supply, like a whole bunch of paint there. Mm-hmm. And it looks terrible, but that's okay because, you know, I achieved what I came here for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I've also been thinking, especially because recently I'm kind of in between works and bodies of work. So this is why Take Time to Make is going to be perfect, because it's going to get me like focused in and figuring out what I want to make and getting me loose to be able to start experimentation in a new body of work. But right now I'm feeling like in between, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. So I'm playing with palettes, like I'm playing with inspiration and stuff. But yeah, there's a piece that I made a couple weeks ago where it doesn't quite fit into like, I don't know where it's going to fit in a body of work or whether I'll even continue sort of with this dialogue and this idea. And so, but for me too, I'm learning now, like, okay, that's okay. If I don't quite know where this goes yet, I can kind of set it to the side and like, and then it might come into a collection in a year, or it might come in, you know, I don't know when it will possibly, like you said, like getting, you know, getting over those or having to check those bad pieces off. Like, who knows where it will come into play in the future. And it's just about the daily, like you said, about the process, about showing up and being open and making that mark, like putting that pen to the, or that brush to the canvas and just starting, you know, that's the hardest part. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to do with Take Time to Make too, is just to start. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when there's like a group of people and you've made the decision, probably a little bit scared, a little bit excited as well. Mm-hmm. And you make the decision, then you give the accountability to someone else, right? Because if I'm sitting there with you and with the other people that are doing this and I'm not doing anything, that is way worse than doing something and doing something bad, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Imagine the time. Have you ever had someone that's just come and just like sat and watched?
Well, because a couple people had to tune in while they were at work or whatever, you know, So that was fine also. You know, they would just try, or one person had their child at one of the meetings, so she couldn't, like, you know, participate at the moment. But yeah, so that's also fine. And I mean, some people couldn't even do it quite live. So they just tuned in after and participated on their own. So yeah, but I'm fine with that too, because yeah, I also struggle with working alongside other people at times. So yeah, you really can do it how you like. Like, if you'd rather, you know, just be taking notes and listening along, then that's fine. But yeah, doodling or making some marks along will be great too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. I think something that you're very good at is having that structure and having that like organized thing, like your circle with water, or giving yourself like an at-home residency, or recently I know you went on a mini retreat, like you give yourself that structure, and then within that structure you can have that reckless abandon and that freedom, and there's where the creativity is able to just go mm-hmm, wild.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. That's true. I'm all about sort of setting structures and then, but then in there, yeah, getting the freedom and being able to be, I find that my creativity flows more when I have some structure of some kind, even if it's just a certain size or a certain palette, you know, where I limit myself a bit and yeah, work within that.
Mm-hmm. Those are good ideas for someone if they want to do, make it practical. Choose a palette for yourself, yes. Choose a size for yourself. I know also, like you just saying, okay, for this residency, I'm going to show up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just going to show up and then see what happens, take what I need. And also like your retreat. So your retreat that you went on recently, that was 2 days to yourself. Was that creative or mental?
Yeah, it was kind of both, right? You said like my life and my art are very much fluid, but yeah, it was honestly just a major inhale. Like I just needed to catch my breath a bit, you know. So I went to this tiny little cabin, this little house, tiny house on a lake near you, and it was just, yeah, I just read and I did a bit of, you know, dreaming about life and meditating and reading. And I bought an art book and I went to the art store and I got some, you know, new colors and just treated myself, honestly, drank tons of tea and just ate ramen noodles, and it was great. Again, I have two kids, two tiny kids at home, so it was so nice. I went to bed at like 10 p.m., 9 p.m., you know, like way earlier than I normally do, so sleeping.
Yeah, I'm starting to realize more and more that the off times that we give ourselves are just as important to like putting in all the work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I like how you call it a major inhale. Mm-hmm. Because when I do something, I call it an exhale.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Funny.
Well, the exhale is a lot in the studio. Because that's where I just feel like, that's where I feel like, at least with my creative juice, that just, you know, that's where it can go. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I can see that too, though. The exhale is really the release, isn't it? But I guess I meant like the, like gaining the energy and like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about how you are raising creative children. Completely different. Kind of related.
The other day, because I knew no professional artists growing up. My parents are both academics, teachers, and so it just, being an artist wasn't a possible profession for me. At least I never even considered it. Even after studying art and finishing my bachelor's in art, I was like, art, being an artist is not a real profession. So I got my master's in teaching. Anyway, my kids, they're probably going to be shocked at the amount of like professions that don't require, you know, you to go and paint your heart out every day. my kids, I mean, my son Vigo, he's gotten really into drawing now, and he's, you know, drawing spiders and dinosaurs. He's almost four, so he can at least draw legs and some resemblance of spidery type things. But yeah, so they sing a ton too. We sing a lot at night, and Vigo's really good at making up his own songs on the ride to school and things like, or kindergarten and things like that. So I think they're getting quite a bit of creative input. Yeah. Yeah. From us. So it's really cool. It's really exciting. It'll be interesting to see how these little guys turn out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it'll be so different to you. I was also brought up in a house without any creativity. Mm-hmm. And I'm also interested to see what happens with Elliot. I think your children, my husband's an engineer. Mm-hmm. So like there's some kind of balance there, but I think your kids are going to see like all the children wanting to be engineers. They're like, oh, those crazy people. Or like accountants are weird. Those zany accountants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. But I think my boys are quite a bit smarter than me. So I think they'll probably have a lot of different options.
It'll be like the opposite, like disappointing their parents by wanting to be a doctor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No. They can be whoever they want to be. It's good.
Yeah. And so what's it like having a creative husband too? Do you feel like you're more seen?
Yes, for sure. I mean, we are number one cheerleaders for each other, you know, and we need it. We need it as artists. I think maybe more than others, because it isn't. Yeah. I don't know, but I just know I need almost a daily pep talk. I don't know about you, really, but I definitely need at least usually one daily pep talk. I have to be my own pep talk sometimes too, which is a good thing to practice. But
yeah, sometimes you just need to like write like, hey, you're great. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I find your Instagram posts also like a really good pep talk for me.
Mm-hmm. For me too. That's why I write it just for me. And then, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of value, like you were saying, like putting out what you need. And then recognizing there must be other people that also need it. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with trying to give to people social media, life, everything. But sometimes it feels like a lot when we're trying to figure out what everyone needs. And so if we just kind of be true to ourselves, put that out there, that speaks so much louder.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, it's true. I also need art in my life. Like I collect work from people. I also love living with my own pieces. You know, they bring me life. And yeah, and so I'm really happy to share them too. Cause I just like, and I hear time and time again from collectors, like it's just that they're just given joy every day when they look at it, you know, and like, what an honor. I mean, wow, sometimes I can't even believe that this is my job, you know? It's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's the other side of it. Like, yeah, I mean, privilege through the roof, of course. And then that I have a supportive, you know, husband and family and a supportive fan base and community. And yeah, we're doing it. It's awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to end, what would be one piece of advice to a newer artist that you would give? Besides joining your artist residency, because I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think, like what we mentioned earlier, I think start. Make a mark. Your voice will grow. Your style will develop, baby steps of progress. Just start to make that mark. You know, you're like you were saying, you're worthy. Your voice is worthy, and so give yourself that pep talk, make that mark. But again, you're probably gonna make a bunch of shit. But that's what you know, it's about the process. It's about being expressive. It's about getting your hands moving. And that's what gives us life. And yeah, so do it.